Sunday morning adult discussion group at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we just love to get together and talk about the Lord. Buddy, would you open us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace and love this day, Father. We ask that your presence be in both services, Father. Give us ears to hear and our hearts to see. Let us share your word, Father, amongst us. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I thought I try on Sunday morning to sit down and listen to what we talked about last week, and it was wonderful. It was just wonderful. But don't worry about what you're gonna wear. Don't worry about what you've got to do. You know, things like that. That's easy to say when you're sitting here with a chocolate in. You know what I mean. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to what we were talking about last week?
Where did we stop?
I think we stopped at 24. Does that sound right to you?
I think I'm reading it right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What the conversation was going to be. I don't think we really talked much about that, but this is not my thought. Well, it is now my thought, but I did hear it from someone else. It's odd that it doesn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasure's going to be. You know, when you are committed to something and you love something, that's where you're going to put your life and your resources and your treasure. It's the Word of God says it's the other way around. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And that always reminds me of the man who finds the pearl in the field, and he sells all that he has so that he can. It wasn't a pearl, it was a treasure. So, you know, I don't think they knew exactly. They ever said exactly. It's the other way around. And I think that goes right along with if your eye be the light of the body is in the eye. If the eye be single, the whole body will be full of light. When your eye is single toward the Lord, that is what is going to turn on the light of your desires. And that's where your treasure will be. So let's start at let's start at 22. Is that okay with everybody? Or 21?
It'll be 21.
21?
Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your entire body would be full of light. But if your eye is unsound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the very light in your conscience is darkened, how dense is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise
be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Deceitfulness, riches, money, possessions, or whatever is in whatever is trusted in you. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. For what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or about your body. What you shall put on is not life greater than quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth more, much more than they? And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of major cubic to his stature or to the pain of, or to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his magnificence, excellency, dignity, and grace, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, heathens, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble.
Okay. Comments? I was kind of interested in maybe discussing the difference between your I being single and what Halliday put it. If thine I be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine I be evil, go ahead.
Yeah, it's got a reference in this King James here where it says evil. It says foggy. And then it says where it says, how great is thy darkness? And this is the word great is said terrible.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's almost like being blind.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we don't know. I'm not sure if you've ever had trouble with your diabetes. I have with my eyes. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord actually showed me that one time when Josh was with us, showing me how he actually seen. And oh man, I go, oh, you know, my mom always taught us that, you know, she said, read the Word of God while you can see it. I think a lot of people take it for granted that they'll always be able to see. But I'll tell you what, once the Word's within you and it's hidden within your heart, you've actually seen what you needed to receive. You received the, what was it say, Oscar? The engrafted word?
Yeah.
it has penetrated beyond measure into you. And actually, that's how we become God, or that's how he becomes in us, Christ in you. It's no longer an outward thing. But I pray that every night. I said, of course, I always do the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I pray for them who I do not know, for those I do. And I said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. If the eye be single, the body be full of light. I pray that every night. I think I forgot it one night for about 5 minutes. And I go, oh my goodness, let me start over. And you know, just, and I know people think, well, if you pray the same thing, you know. I'm praying that God's will be done. I'm praying that we need to adjust our lives to see that will a lot of times, because it's not quite going the way we thought it would go. Or we haven't anticipated how the Spirit was going to move. I'm just thankful that we know the Spirit still does move. And it's still like what Oscar said the other day, a mighty rushing wind comes upon. It's still that way. And we should expect it to be that way, because that's part of God not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. He uses all those things. But this word here, where I looked it up already, you went all the way down through the whole thing on 34. But, I mean, I started looking up words that, you know, like the eye of the body. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, clear, it says, for single, clear, it says, thy whole body shall be full of light. And, you know, in Philippians 4:19 it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in the glory, in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you think he's trying to give us insight of how we ought to see our riches in his glory? I mean, rich, we are all rich as we receive it. The only one that's not rich is the non-believer.
Well, you know, I said last week, you know, about Brother Shepherd making that statement years ago about your heart is in your eyes.
I like that.
But literally, I thought about that a lot over the years. And you know, really what you focus on in your life, that's what your heart's desire is, the thing that you focus in on the most. And when it talks about if your eye is single, so think about what's the difference. If your eye isn't single, what is it then? It's double. And what is it double? If your vision is double, what happens? You don't see reality. And the majority of people out there in the world are walking around with double vision.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see reality. They see a little portion of it here and a little portion of it there. Sometimes they take the right movement in the right direction to what's actually real. And sometimes they don't. They go in double vision. Double vision, if you walk into this room and you see this big congregation of tables around here, and you have double vision, you're going to see two congregations of tables,
mm-hmm.
not just one. And what's going to happen is you're going to have to choose which one you think is the real one. Because if you go to the one that isn't real, you can walk right through it. But if you go to the one that's real, thinking it's the not real one, you'll fall over the table and fall on the floor, because you'll bump into it and fall over it. So, you know, single vision, literally, I believe it's like what you said, it's clear vision, being able to see things clearly for what they really are. You know, when, and I've said this a couple times in the last couple months, but when Elisha, you know, had the Syrian army come down against him, or you know, and you know, he wasn't worried, because guess what? He had single vision.
Mm-hmm.
his focus was on God,
mm-hmm.
not on that army or anything else. He had single vision. His servant had double vision,
mm-hmm.
and he was looking at what he thought was reality, and it really wasn't the reality of what was happening. All he was seeing was that huge army surrounding them. So what does Elisha do? He prays that his eyes be open.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've talked about this many times over the past couple of years about when God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, it never did say that he woke him up. And it never did. It doesn't say he woke him up. And numerous times in Scripture, if you go back, and I've looked at it a couple of times, sometime I'm going to go back and actually count and tell you how many times it says it. But he says a lot of times in Scripture, awake thou that sleepest. Well, why does he say that? Because man's walking around in sleep. He's walking in his sleep. You know, he's not seeing reality for what it really is. You know, sleepwalkers can get out and get in the middle of a highway and walk down the wrong way and do all kinds of stuff because they're dealing in a realm of falsehood or not reality, you know. So yeah. And what God wants us to do is to wake up. He wants to wake us up. And when he wakes us up, we'll begin to see things as they really are. You know, in Isaiah, I'm trying to think what chapter it is. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly what chapter it's in. But it talks about, I'll bring forth my servant to branch. And he'll not see with the seeing of the eye or hear with the hearing of the ear.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll basically see with righteousness and, you know, move in righteousness. Well, what he's really talking about is that he's not dealing in the five natural senses. He's going to deal in the five spiritual senses. Well, we know Jesus came and he dealt in the five spiritual senses all the time.
All the time.
Because he had the spirit without measure. We still operate in an impart realm at this point so far. So we go in and out of using the five natural senses and using the five spiritual senses. But what we really need to do is to begin to pray and ask God, like you're saying about praying and asking God to make your eyes single, you know, every night. Well, if he makes your vision single, then you're going to begin to see what his reality is. Not this realm that we live in is called a temporal realm. It's
mm-hmm.
temporary. It's
mm-hmm.
not real. It's not real. I mean, we think it's real because we've been lowered into a realm where we judge with the seeing of the natural eye and the hearing of the natural ear. But we have to come to the place where we ask him, Father, help us to move up into that higher realm where we judge with the spiritual sight and with the spiritual ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus would stand there in front of him, he'd say, I only do that which I see my Father do. And, you know, and we should only function in what we see our Father do and only say what we hear our Father say, you know, in situations when we don't understand it, you know. But anyway, that's just a few thoughts I had on that singleness of eye and so on and so forth, you know. And like you said in the Strong's, it's the word, these words are hard to pronounce sometimes. And it's almost easier to let
Strong's
it.
Strong's G573,
Hop loose. That's what it
is. That is hard.
Hop loose, yeah. And it literally the outline of Bible usage is simple and single.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I love that it says simple because I've told you all before, years ago, one time the Lord told me he was going to show me something I'd never seen before. And I said, well, Lord, what is it? And he didn't give me an answer. I kept going back and asking him. And I went back three times. And it's funny that it was three times. But on the third time, he told me the simplicity that's in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since that day, the gospel has gotten simpler and simpler, and it gets simpler all the time. It's not very complicated. It's very simple. And you know, I had a person come up to me after last Sunday after I spoke, and he said to me, he says, Oscar, he says, how do you see these things in this stuff? I told him, I said, brother, I said, it's not me. I said, it's God. I said, because I couldn't figure this stuff out if my life depended on it. I said, but when I look at things, a lot of times God has given me enough vision in certain things that when I read them and stuff, he just, you know, I see it more for what it is other than what is just written right there. And even that little joke thing about the three different golfers, you know. I mean, when I looked at that, I was thinking, my God, Lord, you've got a whole message here. And I just start seeing all this stuff, you know, and the numbers all fell perfectly in place, you know, because even when the first two, the one that hit it, when Moses got it up, supposedly up on the green, you know, and Jesus got it on the green, and that was still only two, that was only two times it was hit. And there had to be a third one, see, because the third one is resurrection, you know, and divine completeness and all that kind of stuff. So there had to be that third one. But I was thinking, yeah, and it has to be God, the fullness of God that takes us into that full completion where we become whole in him, you know. And the one where they went through all those different steps, he had a whole in one, whole, made us whole in one person, in the person of Jesus Christ, in the person of God, you know. And, you know, but sometimes when you look at the word and you think, oh my God, Lord, it's perfect. I mean, it is perfect. And a lot of people don't think it is because they think, oh, there's mistakes and there's this and that. And I'm telling you what, when the Holy Spirit opens it up to you, there's no mistakes there. There's no mistakes. It's right there, and it tells you exactly what he's doing, you know. It's his love letter to the church is what it is.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you believe that a lot of it has to do with waiting on the Lord? I mean, how do we get these things? How do we receive these things? Mm-hmm. We receive them most of the time by waiting on him, I think. I mean, you hear his voice, you know his voice greater as you hear him and you listen for him, as you read his word.
Yeah. I tell you, if I broke it down to the simplest terms of how that the Lord has dealt with me over the years, it would be this, that when I first got saved and I would read the scriptures, that I would say, Lord, I don't know what I just read.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you what, you can read it,
but you don't
know what you just read. Not unless he starts really just opening it up. Because it is so much more than what you see in just the letter of the word, you know. And I would simply tell him, I'd say, Lord, you've got to lead me. You've got to guide me. You've got to teach me. I mean, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't really look for another man to teach me
right.
or to do any of that stuff. And he started opening a lot of things up to me. And when I came to church out there at the Wings, you know, and met Brother Eddie, you know, and I heard Brother Eddie's word, a lot of the things that Brother Eddie would tell me was just confirmation of what God was showing me already. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that he told me, I didn't hear Brother Eddie preaching for years, you know. And that's not trying to exalt me in any way, because it's not. Because I know that anything that I know or have seen or have taught over the years, it's not because I'm smart and figured it out. It's because God opened it up. Mm-hmm. And you can't glory in yourself when you know that it's God that's given it to you. You glory in him, you know. And that's the way, you know, a lot of people think, well, I could never do this. You're right, you couldn't. That's true, you know. I've said to the Lord many times, Lord, I'm stupid. I don't know anything. You know, you've got to show me. I don't know, you know. And when you take that approach, it's like a little kid coming to you as an adult and a natural. If they come and ask you a question and come in humility, what are you going to do? You're going to tell them what they need to know, you know. But if they come with a haughty spirit, like, oh, bless God, I already know it, you know, what are you going to do then? You're going to say, okay, let's see how much you know. You just go on your way a little bit. Let's watch you stumble and fall and
right.
fall around a little bit until you learn that you don't know everything, you know. And that's why he hides these things from the wise and the prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. And we have to have that attitude of being a babe in Christ and letting him be the one that teaches us. I mean, he teaches us through other people. I mean, I'm not saying you don't get taught through other people, because you do. But if you have that attitude of that, Lord, you know, and that's why I've made that statement over the years, I'd gladly trade what I know for what I don't know. And really, I wouldn't, because that's a building block that gets you there. But that's sort of the way I feel about it. I know so little that as he opens things up more and more to you all the time, my God, there's just things that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface on yet, you know. But anyway, that word, the Bible usages of that word means simple, single, whole, good, fulfilling. It's the office sound, you know, of the eye, you know. So, you know, and it's like that time the Lord gave me that message about, you know, about my sister and my little nephew, you know, getting
That's
right
good.
Up in her face and her waking up. And she was startled because he had his nose against her nose and forehead against her forehead. And when she opened her eyes, he was looking right in her eyes. And the Lord had been dealing with me about that scripture in the Old Testament where he's talked about Israel being the apple of his eye. And there's different places where the apple of the eye is mentioned. One place it doesn't call it the little man of the eye, but other places it does. But it said little man of the eye when I studied into that. Oh, that's exactly what happens when you get real close to somebody and look in their eyes. Who do you see? You see yourself. And until we begin to see ourselves in him, you know, in him we live and move and have our being. We're not looking with clear vision. You know, we're looking with double vision. As long as we see ourselves separated from him, we're going to have that untrue vision, if you want to call it that, you know.
The interesting thing to me, when we were talking about if the eye be single,
uh-huh.
and it means whole or complete,
uh-huh.
It's like walking into a totally dark room, one candle. If you look at it long enough, it'll light the whole room. And then it interests me to find out why they're saying that, in a way, evil is the opposite of single. And I looked up that word evil, and it meant full of labors, annoyances, and hardships, pressed and harassed by labors, bringing toils, annoyances, perils, time full of peril to Christian faith, that type of a thing. So what does it's bringing into your life other things. And so therefore, instead of the light being single or complete, you're bringing in confusion, and it's adulterated. It's not pure vision any longer, because you are being annoyed by perils and toils, and that's what he calls evil. It's a type of a thing to me of Babylon. It's confusion. It brings confusion into your life instead of the simplicity of the singleness of no matter what is going on, to keep our eye on him. And the things of this world, what does it say?
Strange.
Return strangely dim in the light of his glory.
So it's having many visions. It's like multiple visions, having, when the eye is not single.
No,
it's
it
almost being like
that.
Double-minded.
Yes,
sure it is.
Absolutely.
Unstable in
yes.
all your ways.
Yeah. And the
yes.
word, the word.
It also says diseased or blind.
Double-minded. The word double-minded back there is the word dipsukos,
mm-hmm.
double soul.
Soul. Yeah.
Well, that's where, what do you say? You can't have two masters.
That's right.
And you can't be married to two people at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Because you'll love the one, you'll hate the other one, you know. And a man of divided loyalty will, you know, Scripture tells us it's not a good thing. But, you know, when you was talking about evil, L-I-V-E. What's that spell? Live.
Yeah.
Okay, L-I-V-E, live. Evil is L-I-V-E backwards.
Yeah.
It's backwards. It's just the opposite. So, when you realize that he wants us to live, but true life and true living is knowing him. And anything other than that, we're going in reverse of what he wants us to do, you know. So, you know.
We're all rounded. I actually was getting, when he was talking about the single on the eye and the kid being close, I laughed at that because I've seen that.
Yeah.
And the thing is how does that happen? There's a purpose, there's a process that happens. The closer we get to God, the more single we'll be. The more we'll see him right there. We'll see him right there, because what? He said, what's the Bible say? It says, when we're liking, or when,
as he is, we'll be
as he is, we shall be liking. That's all creative going on, the purpose of being.
We'll see in the Eastern religions, a lot of the Eastern religions, they talk about the pineal gland. You have, obviously, scientists don't know what it's for, but apparently you have a gland that's right up here in your forehead, in your brain somewhere, you know. And Eastern religions talk about that's the inner eye, you know. Now, you know, a lot of Christian people have hopped on that too, and I don't know about all that, so I just leave it alone, you know what I mean. I just know that when we have true vision, we'll not really look with these natural eyes, we'll look with the eyes of the Spirit. And I think they've jumped on that a lot because it is a single gland, and it's right in your brain, you know. And they've never figured out exactly what it is, and they think that a lot of times when people are psychic or whatever, some of those things, that they're operating out of that pineal gland, you know. I think that's how you pronounce it, but I don't know about all that stuff, and I just kind of leave that stuff alone, you know. But I will say this: the true singleness of vision is when you focus in on the Lord, and your focus is in on him, and you look to him each and every day. And we get to the point where we don't go in and out of the consciousness of God, then I believe that's when we will truly have that true focus, where we will see everything as it is, not as it appears to be out there, you know, in reality. The reality will come in, and that's why there's that J.B. Phillips, I loved that for so many years. My mother bought me a J.B. Phillips New Testament 50 years ago, you know. But she'd always buy me a bike. She'd always ask me what I wanted for my birthday or something, or when she was going to buy me something. And I'd always tell her, well, I want a Bible, and I'd tell her which one or something. She bought me a J.B. Phillips, and I've had that thing forever. And it's funny because I've heard people quote, and they've changed the transition to that in some things.
Yeah.
But now they've kind of changed it back because they were taking things out of it,
right,
that
needed to be
the good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they were watering it down, because, and even in Romans 8 chapter, it says, creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because it has been so limited. And why was it so, who so limited it? God did. Why? I don't know. He hasn't told me. But you know what? If he's been the one that's so limited it, he's the one that has to bring the reality back to focus. And you know, the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit. in the past 15 years, I'll say, there is more shows on television that they call reality shows, you know, that are not really reality.
No.
A lot of them are staged and all that kind of stuff. So the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. And those are the most popular shows that are on television. People watch them things all the time. You know, I mean, I hate to tell you, you know, when The Apprentice was on with Donald Trump, thousands of people watched that show. And like it was reality, and it wasn't really a real show. I mean, they staged a lot of that stuff, you know, because they brought in all these different people that were big movie stars and all these different people, and he'd fire them or do whatever. I mean, you know, but people get, they get caught up in the natural things that they call reality, and they're not really reality. They're falsehoods, and until we get to the place where we can differentiate between what's real and what's not, you know, and he's the one that has to give us that vision. We can't do it on our own. We have to ask him to give us that clear vision, that singleness of eye, so that we function in the reality of God. And once that happens, you know, then creation will be set free. Scripture says, into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. All of creation. It doesn't say part of it. It says all of it. All creation. And I think, like I said a couple weeks ago, I heard this brother talk one time, and he said he was driving down the road, and he said, it, like, God opened up his eyes, and as you know, spiritually, as he was driving down the road. I mean, you think, whoa, it could be scary, but God's going to keep you on the road. But anyway, he said it was like he could see the animals and stuff, you know, and they were crying.
Mm-hmm.
They were crying because they were groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to come forth, you know. And I remember reading that years, a lot, many years ago, reading that. And I was thinking, wow, you know. But that's true, because this whole world is going to change so completely, he's going to make everything new. And we don't understand all of that stuff yet, and we don't know exactly what all it all means, you know. But you know, when he taught them to pray, he didn't teach them to pray. Well, he said, "Thy kingdom do what?
Come.
Come. Thy will be done on earth, where as it is in heaven." See, he didn't say, "Take me out of the earth and take me up to heaven," like everybody talks about all the time. But the reality is that Jesus, when he was right here on the earth,
mm-hmm.
and he basically said, "I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven," and he was standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking, and he had to identify with man and with God both.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he did that, because we could never really truly believe, identify with God, if he didn't identify with God, you know, as being a man. But he was that new creation man. And that's why we all had to be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, you know. But,
do you think that's because he had the true single eye?
Oh, yeah, well, sure. I mean, you know, when you realize he had the fullness of the Spirit, he was God standing there in flesh, you know. But he came in the form of a man, so that we, as being a man, could start to believe that we could be in the form of God. Because God, what did God do? Say in the beginning, "Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, and let him have dominion." Now, he's never deviated from that. And everybody thinks, well, he already did it, and you know, man did this and did that. No, it's a process, and it's been a process. The first man, Adam, was of the earth. Scripture tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First man of the earth was an earthly man. You know, not a spiritual man. Everybody makes him a spiritual man, but it doesn't say that. It says he was a natural man. And it said the last Adam was a spiritual man. He was basically God in the form of man, you know. And says we bore the image of the earthly, now we need to bear the image of the heavenly, you know. But, you know.
Do you think that man has ever yet fully agreed? I just looked up the word and it says they have sovereignty or control. And it says, and this is just a definition, it says, to establish dominion over nature. I don't think we've ever been able to have dominion over nature. Storms, and maybe some people do, but we don't.
Well, you know.
They talk about some people do.
Yeah. In a little bit of my sermon today, I will talk about that a little bit, you know, because... look at what Jesus was able to do. You know, they needed to pay tribute to Caesar. What did he do? He tells them, go over and pull a fish out of the water, and you'll find a coin in his mouth. Now, how'd that fish get that coin in his mouth? How did Jesus know there'd be a coin in his mouth? He said, and take it and go pay tribute. Well, sure, he created it. You know, when he knew what was going to happen, when it was going to happen. But yet, the thing was, he was that completion of man standing totally in the image and likeness of God. You know, a lot of brothers and sisters in the deeper truth realm today want to claim that they're there, but they can't produce the fruit of being there. You know what I'm saying? And the fruit of being there is not you going out and doing things. It's you so yielding what you said, I only do that which I see my Father do. You know, and God is spirit. You know, everybody's looking for a physical God, you know, in that sense, out in the heavenly realms or something. God is spirit, you know. And you can't see spirit. You can see the effects of spirit, but you can't see spirits like the wind, you know. And, I don't know how we're getting all this deep stuff.
There was a time that God was opening some things up to David Hoss about the pineal gland.
Right.
But he didn't get the reality of what God was saying.
Yeah. Well, there's people that still are into that, you know.
Yeah.
They believe that meditating and getting quiet still a lot will open that pineal gland, and people, they burn incense and do a lot of different things. So, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but I'm just saying for me that's not where I'm at in that. But I think they're depending more on that being a physical thing than what it really is. I think, you know, we know that when Scripture says a double-minded man, what's it talking about? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Dipsuchos, double-souled. Okay. I don't even know how to put this exactly. In Revelations, where it talks about going in and out, okay? We go in, you know, anytime that you've been in the Spirit, I mean, really deep in the Spirit, you know it's nothing like the natural. It's something beyond that, way beyond that. And, I mean, you know, and it's not even something that you can really explain with words a lot of times. You can try. I must have bumped it. Yeah. But anyway, you know.
Do you think that being a double-minded man is quite as close to the same thing as heaven if your eye is evil?
Well, I think that what you're doing there is if when you're being double-minded, you're being unstable in all your ways. Because you're not following his ways, and when you're double-minded, and Have you ever? I don't know how to put this. Have you ever had a situation to where you had two ways you could go in something, and you wrestle with it, and you wrestle with it, and you wrestle with it, and you think, I don't know if I should do that, I don't know if I should do this. You know, and you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's pretty much in the natural being double-minded,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you can't make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to tell people when I worked at the shop, you know, Wiley used to have really heavy control over people at one time when I first started working out. And when he would leave, when my brother would leave, the place would grind to a halt, because if they weren't sure what to do, or if they couldn't make up their mind about something, then they would just quit and wait for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I first started working out there, I had been a supervisor in the company where I had the largest department in that company, you know. And you know what the worst decision is?
None.
No decision.
Yeah.
Because nothing gets done. And when there's two decisions, either you either do something or you don't do something, what do you have? You have a 50% chance of being right and a 50% chance of being wrong. You know what I mean? But like I say, the worst thing is to do nothing,
mm-hmm.
because you stand around. And when I started working out there, I wouldn't let them do that.
Right.
I'd go over and I'd say, well, wait a minute. And even if they were doing something I didn't know how to do exactly, I would go over and I'd say, okay, what's your problem? What's going on? I'd talk to them. I'd say, okay, do this. Well, what if Wiley don't like it? I said, send him to me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and I'll tell him. I told him to do it. Tell him I told you to do it. And I started making him teach them how to program and do a lot of things, because he was making himself indispensable to them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that don't work. And that's like, you know, a lot of preachers do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only one who can get in the pulpit. Oh, bless God. I've had preachers come in here and tell me, how's your church function? I tell them, and they say, and it's not my church, for first off.
Mm-hmm.
And it belongs to Jesus Christ. But anyway, I've told them, I said, no. I said, I have to open up opportunities for people to share, and I want them to share what God's given them, because we all know in part. We all, none of us have got the whole answer. And God said, oh, God, you got to be careful about that. I was going to be careful. I said, no, I don't.
Be careful for nothing.
No, I don't. You know, but anyway, that's...
Before Dracula shows up, they had come into this system called self-directed employee teams.
Yeah.
And each line of product was being made was made up of three. One team was made up of all nights, days, nights. We were the one team, and the supervisor was our associate. So we made the decisions of ordering and everything
right.
for that. So you had to work together as a unit,
right?
And as a team, and we had meetings even on a Saturday, and we were paid that we would have input on everything, you know, for that. Very productive, because it was all together, you know, as one. And some of the supervisors that were in control and watched you all the time and that did not become an associate, because they so had done that so many years that they did not fit in as to be an associate to you and to
Well, see, a lot of times the ego of a man will not let someone else do something,
mm-hmm.
because, and it's kind of interesting when you look up the word I in Scripture. You know how it's spelled? E-G-O, ego. That's exactly how it's spelled, ego. That's like when you look back in the Old Testament, and in Isaiah, they call it Lucifer, and they call it Satan, but it's really not Satan. It was Lucifer who said, I will ascend among the heights. I will do this. I will do this. I will go, you know, go above the heights, and I'll do all this kind of stuff. See, and that's ego, ego, ego. That's what it is.
Yes.
And in Christ, you can't have that ego. Mm-hmm. And you show me a preacher who comes and starts telling, well, and I've heard this from even a couple of the deeper preachers that's coming here. I heard a preacher say one time, I could take you to the deep end of the pool and drown you. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, what is this? I thought, man, that's ego. That's nothing but ego saying that. He don't know where we are in the Lord, you know.
Most of them don't.
Yeah, and I thought, maybe it'd be the other way around. We'd take him to the deep end of the pool and drown him if he'd sit down and talk to us. And I had a person say to me about total reconciliation and reconciliation. I had a person call me up and say, Brother Oscar, did Brother Eddie teach reconciliation? I said, yeah. He did? I said, yeah. I said, well, it's kind of a shame that all the years that you came here, that you never really sat down and talked to him. You didn't know him. And I told him, I said, he said, well, do you believe in that? I said, well, sure, the scripture says it. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not putting up trespasses. I said,
which word didn't you understand?
Well, you know, and I said, have you, and he, well, you know, he was Dr. So-and-so, see, Dr. So-and-so. And I'm thinking, well, maybe you need to go back to school of the Holy Spirit, not necessarily the natural school, you know, I mean. I told him, I said, look, I said, I'd be glad to sit down with you and we'll look at the scriptures and we'll discuss it. He was not willing to do that. They're scared to death to sit down with you because if you start showing them the scriptures, they can't deny it. How are you going to deny it? You know, you can't.
Well, how are we?
The truth is the truth, you know. But anyway. But we got off, I'm sorry we got off in the...
Oh, it was wonderful. Great discussion.
Yeah.
Who hasn't prayed in a while? Mike. Someone pointed at me. Would you close us in prayer?
Did I what?
Would you close us in prayer?
Oh. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for what we've heard today, Father. And Father, just thank you for what's going to happen in the service today. And Father, just keep our eyes open to see what you want us to be. Amen.
Amen.